In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ established Christian baptism nearly 2,000 years ago. But Christian baptism did not come out of the blue. You find it prefigured in various ways throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, I read in a book on Judaism that before a Jewish community will build a synagogue, the first thing that they will build is what's called a mikveh, which is a ritual bath, because ritual bathing is so important to their life that that comes before the building of a synagogue, because there's all kinds of different reasons why a Jew would bathe themselves ritually. But one of the reasons why someone would be bathed ritually in the Old Testament was if they were a convert, because as a Gentile they were unclean, and so when they converted to the faith of Israel, they were baptized, which is one of the reasons why when John began baptizing people, it was sending a very pointed message to people, because it was saying, you are unclean. It's not just the Gentiles that are unclean, you are unclean. You need to repent. And as I said, we find this throughout the Old Testament, as we saw on the feast day, because on the eve of the feast, during the Vesperal Liturgy, we heard one Old Testament reading after another, which talked about baptism in various ways. And one of those readings was from 2 Kings, or 4 Kings, depending on how you count them, chapter 5, and it's the story of Naaman the Syrian. It's a story that's a very often heard story, although you may or may not have heard it, depending on whether you were instructed well in the scriptures as a child. But you probably, if you've attended the Great Canon during Lent, have noticed some names that, if you didn't know that story, would not mean much to you, which is one of the reasons why it's important that we study the Old Testament. Because if you don't know the Old Testament, when you hear the Great Canon, you're hearing all kinds of references that are whizzing past your head. But if you know the Old Testament, these things have a great deal of meaning, and this story in particular is mentioned quite a bit in the Great Canon. This story occurred in the 9th century BC, before Christ. Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, and we're told that he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given victory unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. There's a couple of interesting things there, but one of them is the fact that it says the Lord gave victory to this commander of a pagan nation over Israel. And this was because under the rule of Ahab and then his sons, Israel had engaged in a great deal of evil. And God punished them at the words of the prophets, the prophet Elijah and then later the prophet Elisha. And this happened during the time of the prophet Elisha, the successor to Elijah. The other thing that's somewhat in contrast with everything that goes before it is the fact that it says that he was a leper. Being a leper made one the worst kind of an outcast in society, so probably this is something that very recently had occurred to him, because he wouldn't have been held in any honor, he wouldn't have been given any responsibilities had he been a leper all along. So he became a leper at some point, and this rocked his world, because here he was, a man at the pinnacle of his career, respected by the king, victorious in battle, honored by all, and even the Lord had given him victory, although at the time he didn't realize that that was what was going on. But one of the things that had happened as a result of the fact that he had defeated Israel in battle was they had captured many Israelites and taken them and made them slaves in Syria. And one of them was a young Israelite girl who Naaman took and made a servant to his wife. And when he became a leper, we're told that this young girl said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So we have this young girl who's been torn away from her family, who's experienced great trial and difficulty, but she sees the man who was responsible for that suffering, and she has compassion, and she wants to get word to him that there is a way that he could be healed. And so she shares the good news. She shares her faith in the God of Israel, which is a reminder to us that we should look for opportunities to do so ourselves, because there are people around us who are lost. And if we pray that God will show us the opportunities to share our faith, they will come to us. But his wife passed the word on to Naaman, and then Naaman went to the king of Syria. And then the king of Syria sent him with a letter to the king of Israel. This was during a period of peace between Israel and Syria. And we're told that he also took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. So a great deal of wealth he was bringing with him, and also this letter. And so he came to the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, in the capital of Samaria, and he presented him with this letter. And the letter said to the king of Israel, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest heal him of his leprosy." And we're told that when the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes in mourning, and he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to heal a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." In other words, he thought that the king of Syria was doing this because he was looking for a reason to go to war against Israel again. He was going to say, "Look, I sent my servant to be healed of leprosy, and you couldn't do it. So now we're going to war." But we're told that the prophet Elisha heard about this, and he sent word to the king of Israel, and he said, "There's no reason why you need to be in mourning. Let him come to me, and let him know that there is a prophet in Israel." So we're told that Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and all of his servants, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Naaman had come with all this wealth, expecting that he would be treated with great honor, and the prophet didn't even come down. He simply sent his servants to him and to pass along this word to him. And we're told that he was enraged, and that he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not go wash in them and be clean?" But again a servant said to him, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?" In other words, if he had said, "Before I'll grant you healing, I want you to go slay 1,000 of enemies," or something like that, he would have gladly done it if it was some heroic, noble thing for him to do. But in this case, he was just simply asking him to humble himself, to go to the River Jordan and wash himself 7 times. And so finally, his servant prevailed upon him, and he went, and we're told that he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So one question is, why did the prophet Elisha not go out to meet Naaman? Saint Ephrem the Syrian tells us that it was because he was unclean in both soul and body. His leprosy made him unclean according to the law, and the law said that one was to keep their distance from lepers. But also, his hands were stained with the blood of many Israelites. Even though God had given him the victory, he nevertheless had shed a great deal of innocent blood that he needed to be cleansed of. Also, Naaman was a very proud man. He wanted to be healed on his own terms, and the prophet sought to teach him humility. He had brought great riches because he could afford to give them, and he thought that he could buy his healing. And also, he despised the River Jordan, which represents the means of grace that's found in the church, and preferred the ways of the world, the rivers of Damascus. We're also told by the fathers that sin is a leprosy of the soul. It's not visible like physical leprosy, but it's a far more serious ailment. And so it was necessary for him to be purified of 2 diseases, through the labor of regeneration which Christ provided for us in baptism. The fathers also say that Naaman is an image of the repentance of the Gentiles, which was to come, because though he first rejected the offer of spiritual and physical healing, he later was persuaded to accept it and was profoundly changed as a result. Why was he told to immerse himself 7 times? Well, 7 is the number of perfection. But also, the fathers say that slaves were freed after 7 years, and sin is a spiritual bondage. And so after 7 years, a slave was freed. After immersion 7 times, Naaman was set free from this bondage, the slavery to sin. And we're told that Naaman was not simply restored to the state that he was before he had gotten leprosy, but that his skin was like a newborn babe, which signifies a spiritual rebirth that we receive in baptism. And we're told that he returned to the prophet Elisha with all his company. He came and stood before him. The prophet Elisha this time came down to him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." In other words, take the goods that I brought to give in exchange for this healing. But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." So Naaman's spiritual understanding was still very simple. He knew that the Lord was the God of Israel, but he was a Syrian. He didn't live in Israel. And so he thought, "I'll take 2 loads of soil from Israel so that I can worship the God on the soil of his land." He didn't yet understand that God was the Lord of the universe. But nevertheless, his heart was changed. He saw who the true God was, and he had turned away from the idols that he had always worshipped up to that point. But then there's an interesting thing that happens after this that he says, and it's interesting particularly for those of us that are converts, because we face some difficulties like he faced, or he brought up to the prophet. He said, "In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardoned thy servant in this thing." And the prophet said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. What he was saying was, I have, as the general of the Syrian army, certain responsibilities. And when my king goes into the house of his God to worship, I have to be there at his side. And when he bows down, I have to help him down. And so I'm bowing. We don't have a lot of pagan relatives, probably, but we do have relatives that are not Orthodox. And so there are occasions when we, because of our family ties, have to go and be present at these things. And one of the things that this is saying is that there are pastoral reasons for that, and God understands. These things are not sinful as long as we are not doing things in a wrong way with wrong intentions. So Naaman's leaving. But we haven't heard in the story so far about Elisha's servant Gehazi, but if you know the story of the prophet Elijah, you hear about him a lot. He was a servant that he very often told to do various things. But Gehazi had heard all these offers of wealth to the prophet, and when he saw all that wealth going off in Naaman's chariot, he just couldn't stand it. His greed got the better of him, and so he ran after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he stopped his chariot and he got down and he said, "Is everything okay?" And Gehazi said, "Everything's okay. My master sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there have come to me 2 from the Mount of Ephraim, 2 young sons of the prophets.'" In other words, young disciples of prophets. "Could you go ahead and give them 2 talents of the 10 that you've got and 2 changes of the garments, of the garments that you had brought?" And so Naaman says, "Well, sure, go ahead and take them." Of course, none of this was true. So when Gehazi comes back to the house, Elisha says, "Where'd you go, Gehazi?" And the response was, "I didn't go anywhere." And St. Ephrem the Syrian says that had Gehazi acknowledged his sin at this point and repented, that he would have been forgiven. But he lied to cover up his sin. And then it says, "And he said unto him, 'Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." The prophet Elisha refused to take any gifts from Naaman because he wanted to make it very clear to Naaman that this was not something that he could purchase. The grace of God is beyond any price. We can't buy it. And if it was for sale, the richest man in the world wouldn't have enough money to buy it. because it's purchased with the precious blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. But this grace is given freely to us by God. Let us not despise this grace out of pride or worldly considerations as Naaman did at first. Let us not trade this gift for the riches and the pleasures of this life and acquire the spiritual leprosy of Gehazi. But let us allow the grace we find in the waters of the Jordan to heal us and to make us spiritually new like a newborn babe. Amen.